Welcome to the Hardwater Fishing Show with your hosts, Jeff Byboth and Jason Killaby. We talk tactics, gear, and ice fishing legends. Welcome back to the Hardwater Fishing Show. I've got my co-host Jason here with me today, and we have a big agenda. We're really excited. It's our fourth episode, and we are nearly to 100 downloads. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot, but we come from humble beginnings, so we were pretty excited, right, Jay?
I'm not excited for this episode, Jeff.
You're not?
I know. Let me tell you why.
Okay.
Number one, I didn't get to go to the ice fishing show and you did. So that makes me not excited. And I got to hear all about all the wonderful crap you saw and how great it was. And number two, I'm on call for work tonight. So instead of a beer, I have a nice glass of water.
Oh, I didn't know about the on-call thing. That's a bummer. Oh.
Yeah. But other than that, you know, it's mildly better than doing anything else at the moment. So, well, let me hear about this, you know, fishing show and all your gadgets you got to see that I didn't get to see. So let's move on. Can we move on?
All right.
Crack your beer and let's get the show on the
road. All right. Well, I hope your excitement turns because I didn't know about these details.
It might.
Okay. All right. I see smiles. So hopefully that's good. All right, so
we'll see.
I'm not going to different beers tonight, so I have the Lonely Blonde, American Blonde.
Didn't you
ale.
Do that once before?
Yeah, we did this already, but I didn't go to the liquor store. I didn't get a new one.
So I couldn't remember if the Lonely Blonde was your wife or your beer last time. I couldn't remember what we were talking about.
Yes, well, hopefully it's not my wife. I don't think she's too lonely. I mean, we are married. But the beer is here, so here we go. We're going to crack it open.
See, that's not even, it's not even right to do that. Not even right. Go on. I should have bought it like a near beer or something.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't bring myself to do it.
Yeah, I get that. All right, so we better get going because we've got a big agenda today. I know things that you weren't involved in because you couldn't come up from Iowa for the ice fishing show, but it'll still be fun. I guess before we get into it, I want to mention too, we have the hardwatershow.com. You know, if you want to find out more information about what we're talking about, I have pictures from the ice fishing show, pictures of some of the gadgets on our on the show page. So go check it out. All right, so before we get into everything else, I think I wanted to talk about a fishing report. So I had a neighbor.
Ooh, now that sounds like good news.
Yeah, it's a good
news.
Tell
me about that.
Yeah, so I was
Were fish caught?
Fish were caught. I was supposed to go fishing on Saturday, called up to the lake we usually go fishing
at.
Yeah, I know. So
very sad.
So we were supposed to go fishing. Earlier in the week, I called my brother-in-law, Brian, and I'm like, Brian, how's the ice? He's like, no problem. At deer camp, there was like an inch. We should have plenty to go fishing. Then I get this sad.
It's been warm, though, since then.
Yeah, it has been warm. So then I get this sad voicemail that says, there's still open water where we fish. So I didn't get out this weekend, but next weekend it's going to happen. We're going to go up there and slay some crappies, so.
Your fishing report didn't help my apathy about this show today.
I know. Well, so next weekend, get in your car and drive up here.
Next weekend, I'm with the in-laws celebrating Christmas, so that's a no.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe we'll have another podcast like this where I tell you about the ice fishing and you maybe cry and hopefully a real beer this time.
Yeah, it will be next weekend. It might even be something a little stiffer. All right. So you were going to tell me about a change in the pike limit up there in Minnesota.
Before we get there, I actually have a real fishing report, though.
Oh, you do have? I thought you were just faking us all.
No,
out.
No.
Tell adults.
So now that we've become a little more famous.
Get on with it.
All right, I will. Now that we've become a little more famous, One of my neighbors is like, hey, I saw your podcast and I'm heading out to Maple Lake this weekend, so I'll give you a fishing report. Today I got a text. Out in Maple Lake, there was about 3 to 4 inches of ice and 12 crappies and four bluegills were caught. There was ice and there was fish. The report was a pretty...
Any size?
No,
any
size I didn't get any...
Or were they all little dinks?
Didn't get any size specifications. They said it was just kind of a slow bite. So that's my fishing report for the week.
Okay. What were they caught on? Do you know anything like factual about what he caught them on? Like jig, waxy, nightcrawler, minnow, hot dog, anything like that?
I don't believe it was a hot dog, but beyond that, I don't have more details.
You need to get more details next time.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We'll get more details next time. Or maybe I'll have my own fishing report so I don't have to, you know, give other people's details. But
that sounds better.
So, all right. Well, let's move on to current events. There's changes to the pike limit in Minnesota.
Yeah, I hear there's a 10 pike limit now.
Yeah. I mean, there's some zones. There's some zones. It sounds like most of the state is in the northeast zone, which seems kind of weird. I mean, most of the state isn't actually in the northeast zone, right?
Yeah, that seems weird.
It says in the northeast zone, they're going to encourage anglers to keep small northerns, like 10 of them.
How many snot rockets can you fit in a quart jar?
Yeah, exactly. So obviously read your regs. I mean, I'm not the DNR. Don't use my advice, but it seems that you're going to be able to keep more northerns. And I've actually had pickled northern before. Have you, Jason?
Yeah, it's actually really good. I don't mind it long as somebody else does all the work.
They need to invent, you know how when you get your deer and you just drop it off at the place and it comes back in pretty packages? They need to invent that for fishing. You just drop it off and it comes back in pretty packages.
They do. They call it resorts.
Ah.
They make those. It's above my tax bracket.
Yes, you're right. I guess last year I was at Artisan's Rocky Point up in Lake of the Woods, and yes, they do clean your fish for you.
But you know, I have a cheaper solution. Well, kind of, not in the long run, but I have a kid now. I just hand him the fish, and he goes and cleans them. So that's been working out pretty good too.
So what is college tuition these days? You know, that's all you're paying to
clean
your fish. Yeah,
well, there is. That's what I'm saying. It's kind of a delayed payment plan.
Anyways, well, we'll get into skins it and how to flay fish some other time, but. For today, that's what we're covering. So the other current event that I had was I went to Cabela's yesterday. They have their kind of ice fishing classic thing where they have some pros there. So I talked to Dave Gens yesterday.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. I went there and talked to
him. What'd he know? Did you tell him hi for me?
Yeah, he knew quite a bit. So what we talked about at the ice fishing show, I was checking out all these level lines, or I don't know what the right term is for them. These big reels, you know what I'm talking about, Jay?
Yeah, I've seen them. They're kind of odd looking, but it's like a bigger. They're not cheap either.
No, I mean, they were saying, oh, the cheap one was $100, and I'm like, whoa, that's not usually.
Yeah, that's. What does that do for you? Tell me what it does.
So
how does it help me?
The theory that I've heard, for $100, the theory I've heard is you won't catch fish because your line twist from your reel causes your lure to spin rather than not spin. So the way the reels work, that there's less line twist and less spin.
There is a lot of line twist on some of those, especially some of those teardrop or the buckshots. You get line twist on those, so... Okay, we'd have to see a side-by-side comparison, I think.
So this was the interesting thing. So I talked to Dave Gens, who's obviously very knowledgeable, and I noticed he was using just spinning reels like I always use. And he said, you know, the way I fish, it doesn't really matter. The spin doesn't come into factor. So not to say there isn't pros to them, but he said it wasn't his thing.
Did you ask him the next logical follow-up question to that?
Probably not.
How do you, I knew the answer to that before I asked the question was, how do you fish, Mr. Gens?
Yes. So it was pretty consistent because I talked to him last year too. It's kind of funny. He's a famous guy, but you go to Cabela's and people don't talk to him as much as you would think. So I had a good conversation with him. And so he seems to take, you know, a small tungsten jig, and he was putting plastics on them is what he was showing me. He has like a really twitch, like he kind of puts the small tungsten jig down there, down the hole, twitches it, maybe, you know, like just like vibrating it just ever so slightly.
Sure, yeah. Instead of like the ripping jig thing.
Right. So he said, you know, the spinning doesn't matter because I'm moving it around, is what his argument was for his style of fishing.
Now, is that for northern or for walleyes and for panfish? He's doing that twitching thing?
No. So Dave Gens is kind of a panfish guy, right? So he's talking crappies. He's talking pan, you know, sunfish. Ah,
sure. Yeah. Got it. That makes sense.
So yeah, the other cool thing I talked to him about was the fat bike. You remember the fat bike, Jason?
What's that?
The fat bike. You remember the fat bike that we talked about last time?
Oh my God, you're back to the fat bike. All right, go on. Hit me with it.
It's cooler than you think. There's this fat bike, and it's not just a regular fat bike. It's called the Rambo bike. I looked these things up. They have an electric assist. So it's a fat bike with electric assist. And he has studded tires.
Yeah, well, they've been making these kind of things forever, okay? I know you, but you don't need electric, and you don't need pedals. You need a Rokon.
Rokon? I don't know what that is.
You've never heard of one of
no.
these? No! You obviously never had Popular Science magazine as a kid. It's a two-wheel drive, fat-tired, off-road motorcycle.
Oh.
Top speed, 35 mile an hour, both front and rear wheels drive. And they're the best things ever. You can stud the tires and drive them down the ice in the snow. They'll go through 24 inches of snow.
I think we need to find some of these things and try them out. I'm sure it's beyond my budget.
Well, brand new, they're about $7,000. Ooh. But you can find them in a barn somewhere. That's the goal.
Yeah, totally.
But they're really cool. So, both, yeah, I kind of drug you off topic there, but... So the fat bike, did you buy, is a fat bike on your Christmas list this year?
If a Rambo bike showed up in my garage, I would try it out, but I don't think it's going
to
make it.
You need to look up these Rokon, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, these Rokon Trailblazer, R-O-K-O-N. They're made in like New Hampshire, out east somewhere. They've been around since the 60s. Yeah, they're really cool. So anyway, moving on.
That's current events. That's what I got. I got the pike limit. I'm going ice fishing next week. And we got the Dave Gens update.
Current events in Iowa. The ice is still too soft to walk on. The river outside my house flash froze last night. It broke up again today a bit. But I imagine it'll flash freeze again tonight. But not nearly thick enough to walk on and not die.
So current events is get in your car and drive to Minnesota and go ice fishing.
Well, yeah, that's pretty much it. Yep. All right, let's hear about your gadgets from the ice fishing show.
So I went to the St. Paul Ice Fishing Show, which was pretty good time. It was so busy there, Jay. I mean, you could barely walk in the place. Yeah, it was crazy. Like, maybe I shouldn't go. I brought my daughter with, and I thought about leaving. It was so crowded.
Really?
I figured I drove all the way there and paid like $10 to park and $10 to get in, and I really want to look at ice fishing stuff. So
what, if you had to pick the top two things you saw there, what would it be?
Well, I'll go with the things I brought home with me.
Oh, there you go. Okay, what'd
you
bring home?
So when I go to the ice show, right, there's a lot of stuff there, and you can go buy it at, maybe you're saving a little bit of money, but you can go buy it at Cabela's or, you know, whatever your store of choice is for ice fishing gear. But I'm always looking for those kind of unique things, right? Those things that you can't just go there and buy, or maybe I didn't know you could go there and buy. So the first thing I bought was this cooker rack for my Big Buddy heater.
Oh, to put on your Big Buddy. I've seen those.
Yeah, so it has, it's sized and made just for the right place to fit into the things, and you can put like hot dogs or, you know, something. I think they said 5 pounds is what they want to, you know, limit it to.
That's cool. I like that. So instead of having to drag out an extra stove, you can just cook right over their cooker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was...
Or over your heater.
It was like $30, which probably is a little more than I want to pay. But, you know, honestly, it's cool enough. It's a gadget. It's worth it. Got to go home with something.
Well, and you can... There's directions on the web to how to make one of those, but... You know, really, you're always fit. You know, you can make anything, right? You could build a car from scratch if you wanted. But the reality is, would you rather be fishing or making stuff? So I think you're probably, you'd rather go fishing than make stuff.
All day long. Yes. I mean, I only make stuff out of that I need to. I don't have a lot of spare time. I have three kids and they're in sports. And when I have time, I want to go fishing. I don't want to be building things. So, yeah. So that was the first thing. I thought it was cool. Yeah.
That is cool. So that means you're cooking lunch for us out in the ice this year, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Nothing better than a Denny Moore beef stew and a Hot Pocket.
Yeah, it's warm. I will admit, I know we've had discussions about, do we have to bring the kitchen sink with us when we go ice fishing? But when you're out in the ice all day and you get something warm, it is nice. It is very nice.
Mm-hmm. So what was the next
thing? Well, before we move on to this, I the only thing I would say is, along with this, I think I like the people. Like, you know, you get to meet the people that invest their time in building these things. Because this is just kind of their thing.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
You know, you get to talk to them about what they do. And I don't know, I really like that. You know, you're talking to the people who make it versus the people who just happen to be selling it at Cabela's. So it's pretty cool.
Well, let me ask you one more question about this gadget you bought. So that was made by just some guy. It wasn't outsourced to some Chinese factory in the middle of somewhere. Not to offend our Chinese listener that we may
We do have one Chinese download, so yeah.
I know, so I got to be careful what I say. I don't want to alienate anybody. So it was made here in the United States, which we do appreciate, and we do thank our Chinese friends as well for everything they make for us. But it is nice that somebody locally, perhaps, made that. So that's kind of cool.
And I'll admit, I didn't check the Made in the USA stamp or anything, but, you know, I mean, it was a guy selling it locally. So, yeah. So, okay. So, the second thing I bought was this cool tip up. I mean, I love tip ups. You like tip ups, right, Jay?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Favorite thing to fiddle with.
It's kind of like a tube, and there's a picture of it on the site page. But it's kind of a tube, and it folds up into kind of a clamshell. So, all the parts fit inside of it, the flag, the. There's a little magnet in there to hold your hook on so that, you know, how storing, I love my beaver dam tip ups, but you know, when you store them, it's kind of a pain, right? This thing like folds up and all encompassing, and you can just put it in your bag and there's no hooks coming out to catch on things. It's pretty cool.
That's kind of a neat idea.
That same outfit had, so this was about $30, which is in my ballpark of what I would pay for things. They actually sell these at Cabela's. Although I got the purple one, they had a purple show special color, so I got purple. And my daughter was with me, so of course she thought that was cool.
You got the purple one.
Got the purple one, so you'll see it.
Now, let me ask you a question here, and I want you to be honest. Did you tell your wife that one was for Lacey?
You know, I didn't tell her. I don't think I told her.
All right. Because that's what I would have done. I mean, like, I didn't want to buy this, but she wanted to, and it's important to foster the love of fishing. But you're more honest than I am, so that's good.
I think I'm pretty sure I bought some stuff at the ice fishing show, and she said, I don't care about ice fishing. Move on. I think that's what happened.
All right. So that's neat. So now, does the spool is below the water?
Yep.
Okay, that's we've learned that's very important. And is there a cover for the hole, or is that something you got to bring?
That's something you got to bring. And so I've been pondering this, right? Because I got this thing, and I need to get some line and stuff on it before this weekend. But I'm gonna try it out. You know, the hole cover thing, and you know, beaver dams have the same problem, right? I mean, they kind of just, you know, eventually freeze over and freeze in and. Then your buddy like tries to pull out of the hole and parts fly everywhere, and
you just give her hell, and it either works or it doesn't, and it's not yours. It's not yours anyway, so it doesn't matter. The only trouble with beaver dams is they're wood, so they're hard to shove back down the hole and just say the fish got it. But anyway, go on.
So the same company had this other one called a fire, I don't know, it was this $100. It was $100 for this tip up, and it was like insulated. And they told me that they use like topper material, tonneau cover, vinyl, I think is basically what it is, some kind of vinyl. So I thought if you got some vinyl like fabric and just put it around the hole, and then you could put some Velcro on it to wrap around your tip up to I don't know. So that was my thought. Maybe get some vinyl or one of those whole cover things. But I thought maybe some fabric would be easier to store than those big foam things that we've used before that cover the whole thermal things.
Yeah, those seem to work pretty well, really, for the price they are.
Yeah.
But yeah, you should. I'm always encouraging you to try new things, especially if they don't work, because then we can laugh. But
so yeah, so it doesn't cover the hole is the answer.
Okay, well that's great. So you brought home a purple tip up and a cooker for your little Mr. Buddy.
Yep, that's what we got.
What else did you bring home?
I didn't. I almost brought home this thing called a bait up.
What was that?
So it's something to put your bait in. It's about the size of...
Like a bucket. It's like a bucket.
It's like a bucket, except it's the size of like 16-ounce beer can. Maybe a little bigger.
You wouldn't want to mix those two things up.
So you're talking like a cylinder, right? That's maybe the size of a beer can. And You put your minnows in it, and it's got this thing in the middle that has holes. So when you need to get a minnow out, you can unscrew the top and flip it over, and all the water goes to one end and all your minnows go to the other, so that you can just pull your minnow out instead of digging and chasing them around the bucket, even though the bucket's pretty small.
I wonder, though, how long are minnows going to last in a 16-ounce glass?
I think that's the problem.
Like, they run out of oxygen in a big pail, like, in a couple hours if you don't aerate them. I don't know about that one.
Yeah, so here was their solution. What they showed was that both ends of this thing come apart, right? Both ends of this contraption come apart.
Okay.
And since there's a thing in the middle that doesn't let the minnows out, you can take one end off and put it in your ice hole, and then it has, like, the minnows can't get out, but the water can get in or out.
So you keep it in your hole.
Put it in your hole.
I don't know about that one.
Yeah, well, because then you got to drill another hole, right? Because I can't fish out of a hole that's got my bait in it.
Well, it's got your Vexilar in there, your fishing line in there. Now your bait's flopping around in there. I don't know.
Yeah.
You better get that 10-inch auger instead of the 8-inch auger.
I don't know. I thought it was interesting.
You know, then if you forgot it in there, it'd be frozen solid. And you'd have to dig it out. Yeah. I think that's, I don't know. That might be one of them things that's greater in concept than in reality, but seems to have some flaws.
Yeah, it might. It might. All right. So, yeah, because he said you could put a whole scoop of minnows in this thing. So I'm trying to imagine a scoop of minnows in a 16-ounce can. And maybe I'm underselling it at 16 ounces. Maybe it's 24 ounces or something. But it's not big.
I'd have to see that one to believe it. I think you should buy one. We'll see if it works.
All right. Well, there's a picture of it. There'll be a picture of it on the show page. You can check it out. I'll throw the link up to the site. Well, so,
you know, maybe what the guy could do is, if, you know, he wants to convince us, he could send us one to try out, and then we'll give an honest review.
So I was going to buy one because they were $15. I'll take a chance for 15 bucks, right?
Okay.
So I have one, and I go to find the end of the line to check out at the ice fishing show, as I think it was... what's that place out of Duluth? Marine General. It was Marine General's booth. Well, it would have taken me 25 minutes to get through the line. I decided it was not worth it.
Oh.
It's just not worth it.
So it wasn't just the money, it was the weight.
It was the weight. And that was the problem there. The weight was bad.
Yeah.
All right, so there's some other things, too. We'll go through a couple more before we run out of time. But so I looked at the Frable Bro Series 2 Sidestep Shack. So it was a sled style shack with two sides, thermal.
Yep.
This thing's legit, man. I mean, I think I need one.
I think you do too. I mean, those are not, we've talked, you know, you're always fighting that heater coming in and out of those shacks. If you're running, of course, I don't know, the thermals, you probably don't need to run the big 20 pounder and the thing unless you want to fish in your underwear, but it's still nice to not have to tromp over that stuff. And so, yeah. So you're going to get one of them?
They're about $500. I don't know. We'll find out.
Write a check. Well, if you quit buying all the gadgets, you could just buy one.
But I like the gadgets. They're the best part.
I know. I know. I hear you. It is, actually. I've been known to buy a gadget or two in my life.
Yeah, it's like a saw that you try to hack a tree over the river and it like springs apart. There's a story for another day.
Those got good yeah, that's a whole nother road. I still have that saw. Believe it or not. But anyways, moving on. What else? So, what do we got on the...
So we got a few more things to cover. Go ahead. So there's a snow dog thing. I thought it was kind of cool. Jay, you saw a picture of this thing, right? The snow dog?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So it's like a little machine that you can use to pull your ice shack and that kind of stuff. It's like a snowmobile without a seat.
So what this reminds me of is the cart thing at Walmart or Target where the guy just has a little thing that pushes the carts along.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, except for ice fishing.
Except for ice fishing. The cool thing is he said like in a midsize SUV, so my Traverse, it would fit in. You could put it in the back of your car.
Yeah, and then it's supposed to pull your ice shack out, right? You can't ride on it or not.
Well, what they have was a... So they kind of have this train. I think of it as an engine and a train, right? So you have your front engine, the snow dog. So you can hook a shack to it that has a seat in it. Or you can just... Or a sled. Sorry, a sled behind it. And you just sit in the sled. And then you pull your sled behind that. So it's kind of like a train scenario.
I think you need to get one of those. I want to see it. How fast does it go? How fast does this thing go?
I think
go?
They said like 25 or 30, maybe 25.
30's moving pretty good.
It had a... There was two engine sizes. There was a 10 horse and a 13 horse.
And so the claim to fame is you can throw it in the back of your SUV, so you don't need another trailer or some other big deal to haul it out there.
Exactly. Yep.
And all of this is because nobody sits on 5-gallon pails much anymore, right? And everybody is riding along in these big, huge ice shacks that are... You can't pull them.
No. Yeah, you need a machine.
Unless you're in CrossFit.
Unless you're in CrossFit. Now, if you're in CrossFit, I mean, then you're good. You just run across the ice. Or maybe a fat bike, Rambo bike slash... What was your bike called?
Yeah, I think... Yeah, or some sort of motorized thing. Definitely.
All right, so other things that I saw there... That was pretty much the cool stuff. I mean, I put it on the site page. There'll be a couple other things on there too, but those are the heavy hitters that I saw that were kind of cool.
All right. Well, I still wish I could have gone. I'm still a little jealous about that. Next year, I'm going to have to try to get up there.
Yeah, we didn't plan very well. I think next year we'll have to plan better.
Well, it's a kid issue. We had stuff going on, but that happens any weekend.
Yep.
All right. So what else we got? We're going to talk about tip-ups?
Yeah, we're going to talk about tip-ups. So so when we started this, we were going to talk about tip-ups. I mean, we all love tip-ups. And maybe I'll let Jay talk about his favorite kind of tip-up and just what you look for in tip-ups.
Yeah. So the biggest thing with tip-ups we've learned over the years, and I think I've tried like half to three quarters of tip-ups ever made. And we've looked and worked on automatic jigging tip-ups, and we haven't had a lot of success. I had a little one, some guy made it and it bought it off eBay. It was called a wind jigger. That worked really well, but it had the same flaw a lot of the automatic jigging tip-ups have, is that the line freezes and the spool freezes. So really the only ultra reliable tip-ups we've found are any tip-up that has the spool that goes under the water so the line doesn't freeze. Otherwise, as soon as you get water on your line, the line freezes and it's game over. So then when you look at those, really, you know, you're like your beaver dams and your fray bills is just making sure you got one that's got good grease and it doesn't have a bad seal. Because once they stiffen up, it's no good anymore. You know, hang on, let me take a drink of my sparkling water.
Sparkling here. Water. Well, yeah. Oh, do you feel better?
Oh, boy, is that... Yeah, that's refreshing. Okay, so moving on. I like, you know, I think after all these years, I think you come back to the beaver dam style tip up. But I would say I love them rigged with an alarm. And we've made alarms. I've bought alarms. I have a little fray bill yellow one that's nice and loud. It pulls the clip out. It goes off. I've made alarm. We had kind of that phase where we made them all. Like I made one out of an old smoke alarm. So I took a chunk of smoke alarm, took it out of its case, put it in a piece of Tupperware, and then made a wired that up to the tip up. So when the flag went up, it made a contact and set the fire alarm off. And you could hear that forever. Don't go through the border with a chunk of circuit board and a piece of, in a Tupperware container though, because that's a bad situation.
Especially if you're going to Canada.
Honestly, it's just for my Yeah. Sir, it's just for my tip up. Tell me again why you have a piece of circuit board with two wires sticking out of it. Yeah, they don't understand. So don't do that. But having an alarm on tip up really is the way to go. Because if you're sitting in your shack, you know, yeah, you're clearing off the window and looking out the window. But hearing that sucker go, that's you're going to hear it right away each time. Our buddy Ole, remember that doorbell
we
made?
We bought those doorbells. Cool. I think we both had one. We bought them off of eBay or whatever. They were like a couple bucks. And, you know, the hard part is getting the contact right? To get to close that circuit so when the flag goes up that you get the doorbell thing working. Was it always like a, something like an owl or, I don't remember. It was some weird animal that it would like make a noise when this tip up went off.
Yeah, so that's all wireless. So you're sitting in the shack and all of a sudden, you know, ding dong, ding dong. It's like, we don't have a doorbell. Fish! And then you got to go get the fish. So it's a lot of fun to do that, especially if you don't tell your buddies you've got one on there. So I think put an audible alarm on your tip up so you hear it right away. And, you know, make sure whatever you have has that spool under the water, so that your line doesn't freeze up, and then making sure they got good grease. Other than that, I think that's kind of my big tip up advice for the tip up itself.
You mentioned a little bit about the little thermal circle things. We talked about it earlier when we were talking about that tip up I bought, but you know, you buy those little foam circles that kind of cover the hole on cold days.
You can also use a piece of carpet with attached pad or something like that. Make a square out of it, or circle, or octagon, whatever works for you. Make a slot in it to go over the shaft and throw that, and that works good too. Do you let's switch gears a little bit on tip ups. Now because I'm lazy, I just get that real thick fire, that, you know, tip up line, and I just tie a hook to the end of the thing and slab a minnow on it. Now some people use quick strikes and leaders and all sorts of gadgetry. What do you think? I mean, what do you like to set yours up with there, Jeff?
So I was just at Cabela's, you know, talking to Dave Gans a little bit. And one of my main things is I had that new cool, like, clamshell tip-up that I bought. And I needed to get some line and, you know, just the things you're talking about, right? I need to get the line and the hooks. So the one thing when I look for line, I don't know if weight matters that much. I mean, usually it's pretty thick, right? I mean, when we do tip-up fishing, you're not worried about the fish seeing the line. Now, I'm sure some people will argue with me, but I look for that, not that nylon or that plasticky line. You know what I'm talking about, Jay? That plastic line?
Yeah, it's plastic, and they got like and I've just tied the dang hook right to it.
Yeah, no, and so I usually put a leader. I don't get the plastic line. I like to get that more braided kind of stuff, because the plastic stuff, I feel like when it gets cold, it just acts weird. So I like that braided stuff. And then I put a leader usually. And then also that new, last couple of years, I used to use a single hook, but now I use the kind of the two trebles. And if you put a spinner on there, I believe that makes it legal. And then, you know, you kind of hook your big minnow on the front and the back, and it just kind of hangs out there. So it's definitely gotten fancier in the last few years, but I think it works.
Wasn't there something too, you got to put a little spoon on there or something, a little blade to make it a lure, so it's a lure?
Yeah, there's
two hooks.
Yep, there's the rig.
Something about that. And every state's different, but.
And I think, again, we're not DNR people, so we're not giving advice. We're just we're just sharing what we do.
Yeah, so double check your regs. Yeah, because, yeah, we do not have a legal defense fund for any sort of advice you may have followed that was bad. Yeah. So
do your own research.
And I don't know, though. You know, I haven't seen on our over the years that the quick strike setups have caught any more or any less fish than a hook tied to a piece of line with a chunk of minnow on it. What I have seen is I've spent a lot more time trying to untangle them than I have the other ones. So it equates to less fishing time.
Yeah, the tangling is nasty. I mean, we've seen some nasty tangles with those tip-ups, and that's kind of why I went to tried that all-in-one thing. It's supposed to help you with that. But yeah, it can be bad.
Yeah, I have had times with Sean Oles that I have simply put into a ball and hid and then thrown in the bottom of his fish shack and ran and hope he never see me. I hope he doesn't listen to this because he'll realize he probably already knew it was me, but I'm like, there's no way I'm going to fix this and I'm not going to spend the time doing it. So I don't like those at all, but some people
so
do.
So I'm with you. My number one is that I call it the Beaver Dam style. I don't know. I don't think the brand is exactly super critical. What do you think, Jay?
Well, I think you tend to get what you pay for on that stuff. And I think, you know, if you kind of go mid range, you're going to be pretty happy with it. Some of those, you know, like the HTs, I think, and the Fraybills, I've had ones that I've had for years that were great with no maintenance. They just do their thing. And then I've had ones the first year out are junk. So there's kind of some sorting. There's some sorting there that has to go. I think if you take it out the first year and it's real stiff and doesn't work, just give it to your friend next year for Christmas and buy yourself a new one.
Is that why I got that gift?
That's what I would do.
Is that what I got for Christmas last year?
You know, like they're like 15. Hey, don't worry. No, that was a different one. Don't worry about it. That one was good. And, you know, so it, yeah, I do think you want to spend a little bit more money. And you only can use two of them. So, I mean, I'd probably bring three with me, you know, and usually I do three or four. So if you get a mess, you can just shove the thing in somebody else's bag and then grab a new one, you know, so you don't, it's not like you have to, and they last for years if you get a good one. So it's something that is not a throwaway item.
I have one. I have a beaver dam from when I was 12. I still use on our trips.
Is that the one with the pirate flag?
No, that one's more new. This I think the one I'm thinking of just has the red flag, just the red flag.
Okay.
I have an American flag one too. That's kind of cool.
Nice. It is cool. Well, though the only one thing I'd add is, you know, we talked a little bit about hooks, and I think the most important thing, like any fishing, is make sure the hook's sharp. I think sometimes those hooks get duller because you're hooking them back onto the tip up. And so that hook gets damaged and dull pretty quick compared to most of your other tackle.
Yep.
So you're going to want to pay attention to that because, you know, most of those tip up hook sets or that fish is just grabbing it and kind of swimming away. And so that one's really important that you know, because it's kind of a lucky type hook set on them. So really make sure that hook's sharp.
So we didn't talk about the thermal ones. I know those got popular a few years ago. They're just a circle that kind of covers the holes. I don't know if I've always found those very useful. I mean, they're useful, but their storage is hard. And
so the ones I had a couple of them and I don't use them anymore because they don't fit in a bucket. So they kind of go in there sideways. They don't fit in a 5-gallon pail. So, you know, they don't fit in your rod case like the Beaver Dam style ones do. So you kind of got this thing and you're like, there's, you know, if you have an ice shack, fine, but it's nice to be able to put everything together. And so that's, I don't know, some of the Fraybill ones, I think they make a smaller one now, but then if you have a bigger hole or it's slushy, I don't know. So I would stay away from them. I would just use the covers. That's my two cents.
Totally with you on that one. My beer is getting pretty low here. I know you got some water there, Jay.
I know, I'm about out of water. Thankfully, I can get more.
I think it might be time for the ice fishing legend portion of our show. So, what kind of story do you have for us here tonight, Jay?
Well, so this one goes back a ways, too. We used to, whenever we go fishing, as you remember, Jeff, we're always, I think it's you mainly that's gung-ho to get out there right away.
Are you sure about that? So we had, I don't know if that's you. I think you might be thinking of yourself.
Maybe I am thinking of myself. But anyway, back in the day, you guys were a lot more amenable to getting out there. And so we pull into the cabin. It was up at our cabin on Stone. And remember, I've fished this lake since I was 5 years old. And you guys have been coming there for years with me. So we pull in, and it's one of them nights where it had been really cold all week, and it warmed up to 35, 40 degrees. And it was really nice out and balmy. But it was like, it was pitch black. There was no moon. And it was full fog. It was pea soup. You could not see 10 feet in front of you. So we unload the trucks and we're getting ready to go. We're like, let's go fishing. So we're like, let's head out to the island, past the island, and we'll go crappie fishing. And remember, I've fished this lake forever. Everybody has.
Yep.
So we had the four-wheeler that year, remember? And we hooked the four-wheeler up and we had the trailer and we put, I don't know who it was. Was it Sean or Dave?
I think it was Dave.
One of us was sitting on the front of the four-wheeler. Yeah. Dave, and on the front of the four-wheeler rack with a lantern to guide us, right? So we could kind of see where we were going. Because I don't think Sean's headlight was working that year.
The headlights were dead. He had two headlights and they were both out. No headlights.
Yes, no headlight. Whatever. For whatever reason, you know, he only knew about the strip for a year, but the headlight wasn't working. And so Dave's on there with a lantern and off we go. And we are certain we are heading the right direction. Of course, we didn't have a compass, but I mean, we're going half mile, right? Maybe a half mile, a little more.
Right. And we're not on Mille Lacs here, right?
Yeah. This is a small lake, nobody else out. And we got a lantern just to kind of watch for ice shacks. We're just puttering along and there's fresh snow. And so we're going out, da, 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 da. And then, God, we should be there by now. I wonder if we're veering a little left, a little right. And all of a sudden we're like, oh, there's some tracks. Keep going some more. And we're like, there's those tracks again. And then we're like, wait a minute. Those are our tracks. And so we're just kind of out there going in big circles, just like a slow big circle. It took us, what, an hour and a half to find that stupid island? Yeah, ridiculous. So just moral of the story is use a compass and know where you're going. Because even if you're very familiar with where you're at in a thick fog or when you can't see very good, you can get lost. We weren't even drinking.
No, we were just...
Yet much. No, we were... Very early in the evening, and it just was so foggy.
And Jay, at this point, I'm guessing we're probably like 25. I mean, this is a ways back.
Probably. But we knew a lot more than we knew now.
Oh, yeah, for sure. All right, well, I think that was a good legend, and I think my beer is about gone. So I think that was a great show. I was worried we wouldn't get through it all, but we did. So
all right.
Till next time.
All right. Well, it's been fun. What are we going to talk about next time?
I haven't given it any thought. what do you want to talk about, Jay?
I think we should talk about lures.
Lures. Yeah, we touched on lures, but I think lures would be good. I have some favorites.
Well, let's talk specific. Let's talk walleye lures, right? And northern lures.
That sounds great.
That sounds good.
Come prepared.
Let's do that. First time for
that sounds good. All right. Till next week.
Have a good night.